A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall is a vibe. So, what's yours? Do you go wild? Or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors? Or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trends. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
It's episode number 27 of the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. Glad to be with you today on a very special episode, because not only is for all you podcasters out there, however you're listening, iTunes, Stitcher, through the WGR website, however that is, but also a little video added. Now, to be honest with you, I try not to have myself on video too much because I'm not, I have a face for radio, as people say, but the two guys I'm bringing on, much different story for them and big reason why I'm doing that today. And if you are watching on the Zoom that I've recorded and I've uploaded to YouTube or wherever else, you can see them for yourself. And of course, the man on the bottom of your screen, if you're watching that way, is a guy that a lot of you know. We've talked before in the radio a lot. His name is Del Reed from 26 Shirts. Del, how you doing today, buddy?
My man, thanks for having me on. I'm so excited to not talk sports with you. This is going to be fun.
No problem. And the other man we have on is someone Del suggested. I just met tonight, but I'm glad I did. And that is Josiah Leroy. And Josiah runs what's called the Geekiverse, which is why we brought him on today, because we are talking Star Wars. So what a better guy to someone who runs something called the Geekiverse to talk about Star Wars. Josiah, thanks, man.
Hey, Sal, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
All right, so guys, before we do anything, I figured it was very apropos if we just started this way. There we go. Hold on. Now it's not going to work. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast, talking Star Wars, all things Star Wars, for a very big reason, and that is, during quarantine life, I have decided to go back and watch every Star Wars film with my six-year-old son, Max, to introduce him to the Star Wars franchise. I did this, I talked about it, and then I made the mistake of ranking the films after reading about it. Because as soon as you do that, you get attacked even more so than the clones come for you in the Star Wars franchise. So that's why we're talking today with both Del and Josiah. Yes, a little bit cheesy there, but it's going to be fun. We're going to have a really good time here. And I want to talk about Star Wars with you guys. And that's exactly true. So let me first tell you my experience with Star Wars. And I want you guys to tell me yours and tell the listeners yours and why we're here today together. I grew up loving Star Wars when I was a kid. I mean, I'm a 70s baby. I was born in 73. And by the time that Star Wars came out, I was at that age where, I was really, this was in my wheelhouse. I could start watching these things. I didn't understand it necessarily, but it was Star Wars and lightsabers. And I had all of the action figures. I can't believe if I still had them today, they'd be worth a lot of money, right? Thousands of dollars. But I mean, we had the Death Star and we had the Millennium Falcon and all that. I really loved it. Watched the first three. And then several years later, they come out with the next one, which would be episode one, I guess, right? And that's the first prequel. And to be quite honest with you guys, I just never got into it. I never cared to watch it. By that time, I was really into sports a lot and playing. And I know that, I still kind of saw it on the outside, like, oh yeah, Star Wars, that'd be cool to watch. Never made an appointment to go watch it at the theater at home. And by the time then episode two comes out and episode three, now I'm kind of behind. It's like, I haven't watched one. What am I going to do? Why am I going to watch two? I never really decided to catch up. I've always wanted to. And then the latest three episodes come out, the trilogy. And I kept saying to myself, I should go back and watch. I should go back and watch. Years later, finally, I decided to do that. And I'm really glad I did because I finally caught up on everything. But I'm certainly not hardcore like both of you guys, which is why I wanted to have you on to talk about these things. So Josiah, tell us about your experience with the Star Wars franchise and then how you are into it now.
Yeah, I know, Sal, you mentioned beforehand, maybe the quarantine spurred on some of this and watching it with your son. My dad took me to the theater for the 97 special editions. So 1997, they re-released the original trilogy. I was 6 years old or so. My dad was like, hey, you want to go see Star Wars? I said, sure. And honestly, I was hooked from the moment I saw it, the moment the crawl came across the screen. So I was at a really good age for probably who the prequels, so episodes 1, 2, and 3, were geared towards. And I have such a different opinion. So many people really have different opinions all over the place on Star Wars and where they would rank them, is we'll see on this episode, I'm sure, with the three of us. And so by the time The Force Awakens came out in 2015, when Disney took over, I was completely ecstatic. I was as high as I could be on my geekdom kind of fan base. So Star Wars is my number one kind of go-to when it comes to anything pop culture. I love my share of sports and diehard Sabres fan and this and that. But when it comes to this, Star Wars has always been the thing.
How about you, Del? How'd you get into it and where is your level of fandom now?
So much like you, I was born in the 70s, 1975. So just a couple years behind you. So as long as I can remember, Star Wars has been around. And I had all the toys growing up. I think I had all but 8 figures, you know, when they, you know, had released them all. So I would, and like you, you know, if I had half of those, geez, you know, where would I be now? But I did rescue a bunch from my parents' attic about 15 years ago for my kids. And now they play with them. And so what the toys that I beat up, they beat up further. So,
yes, I can
but yeah, so it's always been a part. It's actually one of the first dates I ever went on with my wife. She was wearing a Star Wars baseball cap. And I never shared that interest with her because I was, you know, you don't really share that with girls when you're trying to like, oh, yeah. I really love Star Wars. No, but, and so she's wearing a Star Wars hat. I'm like, that's really sweet. Like, that's a great hat. Like, I'd love to, you know, more than our second date, but like, I'd love to, you know, borrow that. I'd love to wear. She's like, no. This is my Star Wars hat. Like, you don't, I was like, oh, she's a keeper. So I proposed not far out, you know, after that. But yeah, no. So it's been a really, you know, what's fun about Star Wars conversations that for those of us that have grown up with it, all of us in our own way, just different time, you know, time periods with Josiah, it means something different to all of us. Every character, every movie means something different. It's such a personal thing. It's not just some movie franchise. It's like a part of our lives. And so just like you, you know, your son's 6, when my oldest daughter was 5 and my younger daughter, she was 3 at the time, but I was like, I can't wait any longer. So I introduced them to the movies and, I always say that my proudest moment as a father was holding that secret that Darth Vader was Luke's father, you know, keeping that a secret so that when they experienced Empire awesome. Strikes Back for the first time, they were like, you know, like my 5-year-old, her mind was blown. And so that was like, I felt like that was mission accomplished. Like after that, anything I do as a father, any screw ups, I can always say, hey, at least I kept that secret for her.
You know, it's funny because Max saw episode, geez, I have to do this the right way now. He saw episode 3 before anything else. Like it was just on TV one time and he's watching it. So he kind of knew about Anakin Skywalker turning into Darth Vader, but he'd never seen anything. He didn't really know. And he knew who Darth Vader was, of course, but it never really, it made it different for him in his own way watching it, because even when we watched the original together, he kind of knew how Vader became Vader, right? Which I never even knew how Vader became Vader. And he's 6 years old at that point. But that's what the big first question is I have for you guys, and really what I've asked a lot of people about even going into this, which is what order to watch these movies. And whoever you ask will have a different interpretation and way to go about this depending on their own experience, I guess. And maybe it even depends on if you've already seen them all, what the best way is. For me, because I hadn't seen them, I said, I want to watch them in the order of release because I want to be like a new person growing up and watching these. So that's what I did. I watched them in the order of release. I started with A New Hope, episode 4, and I went Empire and then Jedi, and then went to the prequels, 1, 2, 3, and then I skipped. And then I went later on to Rogue One, by the way, which I know bridges a little bit of the gap there. So, Del, what is your best advice about how you think people should watch Star Wars?
I'm a big advocate for a release order in any franchise, whether you're talking about Star Wars or the Marvel movies, or even if you're reading through, say, like the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, because all three of those franchises jump around in different time spots, and different people will tell you different places when to begin watching them. I think that it's always best to experience a franchise in the way the culture experienced it to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so there's certain things that are put in, say, episode 1, 2, or 3 of Star Wars that deliberately call back to episodes 4, 5, and 6, whether it's, you know, directly or subtly. And that's the same with the Marvel movies, and it's the same with the Chronicles of Narnia books and everything. They call back to things that they assume that you're already aware of. And so to watch it in terms of like episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think you lose a little bit of the magic that made society fall in love with the franchise to begin with.
Do you agree, Josiah?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, if especially to a newcomer, I would recommend watching it in release order. I think that is the best way to do it. The magic's there, like Del said. It's funny, like any time we'd get a new Star Wars movie, so over the last 5 years, that was 5 times now with Solo and Rogue One mixed in there, I would always, when I would do a rewatch, I'd watch them from the episodic number. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on and so forth. And I do think the best way to do that is still, especially for a newcomer, is to look at it that way. There was, before Disney got involved, something called Machete Order, which basically it had you start with 4 and 5, you know, so you just had the big reveal that Vader and Luke are connected. And then you go back, you skip episode 1, because there's arguably nothing relevant enough to the greater saga in that one. You go almost like a flashback to episodes 2 and 3. And then you jump back to 6, Return of the Jedi, having known essentially, you go through the shock of seeing Vader and Luke there. You know what Vader went through, or Anakin and his journey to Vader. And then you see almost like what was at the time the grand finale. So that's kind of fun too. Obviously, there's many more movies, but it, for me, you can't go wrong.
What about Rogue One? Do you recommend, like I did, watching it last, or do you bridge the gap? Because it is something, it's very important. It really does, to me, tie into that. We'll talk about the movie and how great it was. I thought it was great too, but it does tie in a lot in a, and make you understand and help you understand, you know, really what happened when you go from the prequel, which would be episode 3, to episode 4, which was A New Hope. I mean, you could understand someone doing that, but I also think watching it the way I did and putting it last, because that's basically when it came out, really helped.
I think that's good. Rogue One was so special for a number of reasons, but having known what you get in A New Hope and where everything's going, Rogue One is almost like the perfect prequel of sorts. It's the perfect part one to what is part two almost in A New Hope. I think that it made my appreciation of A New Hope, believe it or not, even higher. So I especially see in the very end of Rogue One, I think it's the whole Vader sequence there on the ship is one of my top 5 Star Wars moments ever. Yeah. Just super exciting, super thrilling to see Vader kind of finally mow down some of his enemies there. I think you did it right, Sal.
Well, I'll tell you about that scene itself. When I said on Twitter that I have to watch Rogue One, a friend of mine said exactly what you did. The way he put it was, he said, it's peak Vader. Think Jordan 1992. That's what Vader is. And that, right? That's exactly what he said to me. I don't know. What about you filling in the gap with that? And then tell me about Solo a little bit. Now, I have not seen Solo. So, Del, where should Rogue One and Solo go in your order?
I think really, I mean, those are best. Those are standalone movies, even though they cover a different time period. I think you're better off watching all 9 episodes and then going back and filling in the gaps. Again, that's partly release order. I mean, obviously, the Skywalker, whatever they're calling it, the last 3 ones, the sequel trilogy, it was released in the middle of those. But I think it's fine to, you know, watch through the 9 and then get a little bit of back information with Solo and Rogue One. I'm a big fan of Solo. My hot take back in October was I did a movie ranking like yourself, and I had Rogue One as number 1. I had Solo as number 2. And that got some real controversial replies. I mean, I don't tweet politics, but I probably would have been better off tweeting something about Donald Trump.
That's great.
Instead of saying that I liked Solo as the number 2 overall movie. But there's probably a little bit of recency bias there. But I love Han Solo's my favorite character. And a whole movie devoted to his backstory. I love the character. I mean, I love Harrison Ford, but I love the character of Han Solo. So I felt like that was well done enough for me to enjoy it.
You know, so one of the things that I didn't like was I didn't like the acting. I didn't really like Obi-Wan's character, believe it or not, in the first three, the prequels. I didn't love the acting there. It kind of hurt those movies for me. But, you know, you have people who say, oh, no, you know, they'll tell you how great maybe that particular character. I read one review said, oh, my God, he made it or whatever. I didn't like that. But really, more than anything, maybe the dialogue was just a little bit off for me, too, for some of those movies. That's not why you watch Star Wars, right? Do you watch Star Wars because it's stars and wars, or they're fighting in the stars? But Josiah, you know, what did you think about, you know, as the franchise went on, the differences in the actors and the acting and the dialogue between the three different sets of characters, basically, with the trilogies?
It's totally different when you look at all three of them as, you know, these kind of the three parts of that 9-part story. If you look at the originals, George Lucas truly had a lot of help. George Lucas is the creator, writer of Star Wars. When it came to script doctoring, he really had a lot of insight from pretty well-established Hollywood directors and producers. He had a really nice team around him because Star Wars wasn't Star Wars yet, though it quickly became Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go back to the prequels, it almost felt like, from what I understand and looking back and reading up and kind of just growing up with it, is that a lot of people didn't want to get involved with it because they were worried about, like, you know, how do you continue on something that as legendary as Star Wars? How, you know, if it's not good, if it's not on the level of those perceived, you know, original three, like, your name is tied to that. Like, famously, Ron Howard was asked to be a part of Episode One in terms of directing it, and he didn't want to do it. And then, of course, he comes back all these years later and does it with Solo. So there was a little bit of an issue when it came to some of the dialogue, but I think that was more of George kind, you know, trying to do it relatively by himself. And then we flash forward here to the sequel trilogy, so 7, 8, 9. And I thought for the most part it was really good. It found some of the campiness and some of the charm that you love from the originals, but it didn't altogether forget the prequels. So you've maybe found a nice blend there. And yeah. I love J.J. Abrams. I think he did a great job with it.
No, and let me ask you this too. Indel, one thing that kind of surprised me was, especially after they go and they make, you know, we know how big Star Wars is originally. So Lucas goes back and he makes these other movies. Now, I know that Liam Neeson, I had no idea Liam Neeson, by the way, was in 1, 2, and 3. I had no idea until I watched it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Liam Neeson, right? Now, you do get those kinds of actors every once in a while. And of course, it started with Harrison Ford before he was really Harrison Ford. I mean, I looked it up, you know, considering Harrison Ford's like 90 now, by the way, which is incredible. You know, so he's in his, what, 30s or something when he's making Star Wars. But really, they don't have big name actors in these movies. You go back to a lot of the ones, and you would think, wouldn't you think that some of the big name actors wanted to get on board? Or do you know anything where maybe they just they avoided that maybe to make it more about the movie than it about the actor? I'm not really sure.
Josiah probably has a little bit more knowledge in terms of the history behind that, but I know when Star Wars was being first, you know, put together, like, it wasn't made with a lot of money, you know, there was no such thing as a Hollywood science fiction blockbuster really back then.
Right.
Maybe Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and that was it. And it, maybe I might be wrong. Maybe that came after Star Wars, but, so this was really why I feel always made Star Wars so special was that it didn't rely on A-list actors or even B-list actors. I think Harrison Ford was a carpenter before he took on the role of Han Solo. I think he was in American Graffiti, which was another George Lucas movie, but that was about it. And that was always what the charm about Star Wars. And I don't mind that they cast these, you know, familiar faces in the past 20 years and all the movies they've made now, but that was always the charm with the original movies, is that it wasn't a big deal about who was acting.
And Josiah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Carrie Fisher's not Carrie Fisher without Star Wars. Right? I mean, you'd say, well, they have Carrie Fisher. Well, yeah, well, that's only because she was in Star Wars or how she got her name. Jimmy Smits, I watched on L.A. Law. I mean, he was in there. That's about it. But yeah, there's, as Del put it, they're lacking the A-list actors. Does that make that better for you?
I think so. I do think that was something they intended to do. Now, I think when you look at the prequels, there is a large contingent of recognizable names, both from stemming from maybe like a Ewan McGregor, who really, really became a household name with Star Wars, and then a guy like Liam Neeson or mm-hmm. Sam Jackson, who's been in everything.
Sure.
Right. The story was he begged George Lucas to like make him a role. He's like, I gotta be in Star Wars.
There's actually an unwritten Hollywood rule law that says Samuel L. Jackson has to be in every franchise.
In some capacity, right? That's what I mean, though, Josiah, which is I'm surprised more actors didn't go and say, I need to be attached to Star Wars. Look at how big this thing is.
Sure. And if you look at the sequel trilogy, it was back to those roots. You had Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Peter Mayhew, who was Chewbacca, and of course, Harrison Ford. With the sequel trilogy, Daisy Ridley, who plays Rey, that was her first movie. Like, that's insane. She was a bartender or a server just a few years before that. John Boyega, like, he literally had one of those 12-inch like Han Solo action figures and had Harrison Ford sign it on the set of Force Awakens. He sent in 14 audition tapes. He wanted to be a part of this so bad. So they kind of got back to that. And you had some big names kind of surrounding in the background, but no one that was in maybe those three or four leading roles that was already a household name.
So, by the way, Del Reed, Josiah, Leroy, joining me here, South Sports and Stuff podcast. If you're watching on video, thank you very much. If you're listening on audio, appreciate you coming aboard here. We're not talking sports today. We're talking Star Wars. And I have watched all nine. I ranked my episodes. And when I did this, guys, of course, you know, like you said earlier, Del, you know, it's like tweeting politics. The flood comes in. And one thing that I've noticed is Star Wars fans are super passionate about Star Wars, but I get it. I mean, I cover sports. Bills fans are super passionate about the Bills, right? I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing, whatever it is. And some people were really super mad or offended that I had one movie over another. And some, I would say, though, that I got a lot of good feedback. People said, you know what? This is a good list. I might tweak this. I might tweak that. The one thing that people did not like, and you are one of them, Del, who said, oh, man, this, you can't do this. I have Attack of the Clones ranked one spot higher than Revenge of the Sith. Now, neither of them are ranked very high on my list. I have them 6 and 7 out of 9. But I'll tell you why. And I want to go back to Revenge of the Sith. To me, again, I don't know. The acting, I couldn't get into it a lot. I like the name. Like, the name really appeals to you. Revenge of the Sith sounds cool. Attack of the Clones sounds like a stupid name. But actually, it was kind of like Gladiator in space to me. That's kind of why I liked Attack of the Clones. And I'm a Gladiator fan. So that's why I put that movie there above Revenge of the Sith. But I know that you would take issue with that. But how would you, maybe not even 1 through 9, but where maybe if you lump in your rankings, put these movies?
The prequels?
Or any of them. Like, how would you say, you know what, the first few are these guys, you know, whatever order, the next few are these guys, and then these other ones down here are not that good.
Okay, I want to get some comments. I'll read off my top 9.
Go ahead if you want to do it.
So, I have Return of the Jedi as my number one. Okay. This is not counting Rogue One and Solo. Those are already above that. But,
right.
Return of the Jedi, A New Hope, then Empire Strikes Back, which is Star Wars blasphemy, having it ranked the third out of the...
But you have the original three as your top three in some
way. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Then I have The Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith. And after this, these are all four of these are tied for last for me. But The Rise of Skywalker, The Last Jedi, Attack of the Clones, and The Phantom Menace. Those are the four that I, you know, have the, for different reasons, I'm the least enthusiastic about.
Interesting. I really like The Last Jedi, actually. I enjoyed that storyline. Josiah, what about you? What do you take issue with any of my rankings or Dell's? And, you know, how do you have them ranked?
You know, listen, guys, before I talk about my rankings, I've lost friends over this. Not really. Dell's not wrong. I remember that conversation. And it may have stemmed, honestly, from me posting my rankings. I don't know. But even Jer White got involved. It was all over the place.
Yep.
I don't take offense to either of your rankings. Everyone's got their opinion that, you know, that's that, that, you know, that goes without saying. It is fun to kind of get into the nitty gritty of it. Del's right. Like, there are certain things that are almost like sacrilegious. I do not have Empire as number one on my list either. I have it kind of 1A, if you will, which again, like, people just tear you up for. Sale, like, I'm looking at your list and it's like, I think it's very reasonable. Like, any list is reasonable, but in terms of, you've got a good mix. Like, you didn't show bias towards one trilogy or another for what it's worth. They're all kind of like intertwined.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So mine, and again, sacrilegious here, but hey, I stand by it. Number one, I actually have The Force Awakens.
See, I like that more than Del, you didn't like that much based on your rankings.
Well, I mean, I liked it more than Revenge of the Sith. it's outside of the original three. That's my...
Okay.
One. So.
Yeah. Okay. I have it above Return of the Jedi. Actually, go ahead, Josiah.
So, I think, you know, my rankings do change from time to time over the years, but I think Force Awakens was just the perfect time for me. And you know, we're almost 5 years later, and it still hasn't been dethroned. But on my list, so Empire is second. Another, you know, depends on who you ask. but I've actually got Last Jedi number 3 on my list, and then it's kind of all over the place for the rest of it. And I could make an argument that all of them could move up or move down. But I've got after Last Jedi, Revenge of the Sith. I've got A New Hope. I've got Rise of Skywalker, which I've had to let stew a little bit here. And then probably most controversial, I've got Attack of the Clones above Return of the Jedi, and then Phantom Menace. Again, this could change every few years, and it depends on what new content comes out and makes me almost have a different perspective on the older films.
Okay, so I think one of the things that happened here when I ranked them, and I realized by really trying to take in all this feedback, is if you rank them, and I tried to rank them on the movie, you know, how much I liked the movie. If it was just a movie, it didn't have nothing to do with, it was just standing alone, right? It was nothing to do with anything else that it was tied to, how much I enjoyed that movie. Really, that's what my rankings were about. That's why I say, the acting in this movie wasn't good. I liked these scenes in this movie. But I realized that, and I totally understandable, some people rank them based on how much they mean to the series. And hey, this one really did this for you. And if you watch that, now you totally get it. Or boy, that one really, wasn't a part. They didn't need to do that. So Del, when you watch them, are you ranking them, I should say, based on the movie or what they mean to you as far as the franchise?
Both. Not to, it's a crap right. out, but yeah, I think both, because Return of the Jedi, I was in third grade when that came out. My parents took me to see it the night it came out. I was the coolest kid at school the next day when I get to tell all the kids that I went to see Return of the Jedi the night before. So many memories, my waiting in line in the rain under these giant golf umbrellas that my parents had to get our tickets to go see the movie. So there's so much intertwined there, in terms of my personal love. And then as Josiah said, rankings change. For me, yep. The Force Awakens probably was my favorite movie out of those nine at one point. But I was so disappointed, and Josiah and I have gone back and forth on this in terms of the sequel trilogy. I was so disappointed in The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker that it just pulled The Force Awakens down for me, just because I felt like they didn't finish. This is who am I to tell filmmakers what to do, but the way I wanted it to go, I thought it should have gone.
You're doing that. You're saying this, what happened in one impacted the way you felt about another.
Yeah. I can't fully enjoy The Force Awakens knowing that when they finally locate Luke in the next movie, which I thought it was brilliant to have that whole movie go, and then you get to see Luke in the last shot. That's right. Brilliant. That was amazing. And they had him in all the marketing before it. It was so good. So I have to wait 2 years. I finally see it, and he's back to being the whiny crybaby he was in Episode 4. And for me, that just, I grew up, fighting with my best friend Jeremy about who got to be Luke, who got to be Han Solo.
Yeah.
And I've gotten older, I like Han more, but we always fought over who got to be Luke. And then this is my fictional hero growing up. And then he's a crybaby all over again. And so that for me, that pulled it down. But
how do you rank them and feel about them, Josiah, when it's relation to like, is it like Del, where, one can really have an impact on the other, or I'm just kind of judging them on the aesthetics of the movie?
I think it's hard not to intertwine them a little bit when you're basing your rankings on a list here. So a little bit with what Del said, I think the way I think about Force Awakens is I think back to that opening night and being in the theater and how just unbelievable it was to be there with however many Star Wars fans who have waited, yep. Really not that long. It was 10 years since Revenge of the Sith, but to see Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and most of the original back on screen together again, with how they were revealed kind of one by one throughout the movie and how they introduced all the new characters. I get goosebumps thinking about it. John Williams is back again. All of it was just so perfect. And the way, even down to the end, when Rey catches the lightsaber, when Kylo Ren's trying to get that Skywalker lightsaber, it was just so completely epic. And then like Del said, at the very end of the movie, you finally get Luke Skywalker and you're like, oh my goodness, I got to wait 2 years to see this. Had I not liked Last Jedi very much, I think I'd be in the same boat as Del. I'd have to drag it down a few. And it's funny because that first viewing of Last Jedi, I had a lot of problems with it. But when I saw it again, something just clicked for me. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I think I understand where Rian Johnson was going. And I just loved it. It was a total 180. So it can happen.
Well, and let me tell you why I did not like The Rise of Skywalker. And this actually is kind of on the lines of the other movies impacting it. It's not because of how it related to the other movies. I felt like I'd seen the story 10 times already. right? Like, I mean, The Rise of Skywalker to me was the same story I'd seen in other Star Wars, which is the good versus evil. And, you know, you're going to come to my side, I'm going to come to your side and all of that. It was just packaged differently. I think it was a really good movie, but by that time I'm like, I'm kind of not really feeling anything special about this movie. Do you think that's fair, Josiah?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I think they had some roadblocks with it. They did, you know, J.J. Abrams came in. They originally had Colin Trevorrow, who did Jurassic World. And, you know, something wasn't jiving there. You had the death of Carrie Fisher in December of 2016, I believe, they would have just finished The Last Jedi. So they got all her stuff in. They didn't change course with what they did in Last Jedi. So now you were really going to be put in a pickle when it came to what you had to do to write around her, because you weren't going to do a CG character. You obviously weren't going to recast her. So there was a lot going against them. And then there, despite how well Last Jedi was received from a critical standpoint and a commercial, you know, going over $1 billion in sales, there was a lot of fan debate online. You know, people maybe more like Dell, who just it didn't hit right with them. So I think it was tough, and maybe there was a little fatigue there. It was the fifth Star Wars movie in 5 years. So Rise of Skywalker, I think if you can describe it in one word, for better or worse, is safe.
Yeah, I get it. That's the only reason I took a lot of grief for not liking that. And I just, by the time I got there, I'm like, yeah, it really didn't, there wasn't much of a storyline to me that was new. And that's kind of why I did that. But I can totally understand, like, it actually was a good movie, but that's the one that did impact it. Not because of how it tied into the others. I just felt like it wasn't doing anything new for me. Josiah Leroy, Del Reed joining me here on the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. Thanks for tuning in on video. We don't have too much time left. We don't want to keep everybody. I know that we could talk Star Wars and you guys could all day and all night. That's for sure. A couple things I do want to get to before we move on, though. Let's talk about the future of Star Wars. And Josiah, you can tell me like what you might know about plans. I have no idea. I don't get into this stuff. You know, I mean, if it's Syracuse basketball recruiting, I can tell you what's going on. But if it's Star Wars future, I don't really know. What is going to happen? What do you think should happen?
I imagine at some point down the road, we, you know, everything comes back full circle and we get another trilogy connected to what we've got with the Skywalker saga. It's always billed as the end of the saga, but then we get three more 10 to 15 years later. Right. But in the more immediate future, Disney's got a lot going on with Disney Plus, where we'll see more TV based, like episodic series. So we've got Ewan McGregor coming back as Kenobi. We've got The Mandalorian, which is super popular. And then in terms of the big screen, Rian Johnson, actually, so he did The Last Jedi, wrote and directed that. He's got a trilogy that he is supposedly going to write and direct. That no time frame on that. And then most recently, Taika Waititi was announced that he is going to be in charge of it sounds like a standalone Star Wars movie. We don't know much about it. But if you don't know Taika, he was the guy behind Thor Ragnarok, which happens to be one of mine and Dell's favorite movies probably ever. Mm-hmm. There's lots on the horizon. I think there's lots they just haven't announced yet, and they're letting the dust settle here.
And for you, Del, Mandalorian and Clone Wars. Tell me a little bit about both. Tell the listeners, in case they're unfamiliar like I am. I have not seen either yet. And, you know, how should we treat those?
Well, I'll let Josiah speak to Clone Wars because I've not watched through them all.
Okay.
So I'd be doing
okay.
a disservice to that fact. But Mandalorian is great. It takes place after Return of the Jedi. And it's all about the, you know, kind of what happened after that a little bit. And it's really enjoyable, really well done. It's done by Jon Favreau, who the creator of the Iron Man series, you know, which spawned the whole MCU for Marvel and everything. It's got a bunch of different guest directors. Real quick synopsis, you know, first three episodes are great. Last two or three are great. In the middle, it turns into like a little.
How many episodes are there?
How many are there, Josiah? Is it eight?
Eight. Yeah. It's one season. Eight. It's like one eight episode run. That's it. How long is each episode?
It varied between 40 minutes to like a little over an hour each episode.
Do you need to watch this to kind of fill in blanks on this on the franchise?
And this is the future I hope Star Wars goes in.
Okay.
It's just its own story that happens in the universe. I mean, for crying out loud, it's a giant galaxy with all these planets. You look at the Senate, there's this giant Senate that they're talking to in the prequels. All those worlds have stories. And this is a little bit of that.
All right. And then Clone Wars. Go ahead, Josiah.
So Disney Plus just wrapped up the end of the Clone Wars. It was season 7. over. So as I mentioned, 7 seasons, it's a lot to get to. I don't necessarily say, you know, go in and binge the entire thing. There are certain story arcs that you can even Google and recommend the top ones, because they typically would go for 3 or 4 episodes at a time. The beauty is they wrap between episode 2 and episode 3 in terms of Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, and they lead like right up to Revenge of the Sith. So the last 4 episodes in particular that just came out in the last few weeks, some of the best Star Wars material we've gotten in the last few years, if ever. So I would say dabble in that a little bit and make work your way around that, and then also Rebels. Rebels is nice. That's closer to the A New Hope time frame. Both of those are on Disney Plus.
And as much as I talked about dialogue and acting being poor in some movies, you know what they're great in is the Lego Star Wars series. The writing in Lego Star Wars is amazing. It is hilarious. It is funny. I love those. I would recommend watching that, but not for kids necessarily. There's some adult humor in there that goes along, but I love those as well. All right, before we get out of here, I got a couple minutes left with you guys. Favorite and least favorite character of the entire Star Wars franchise. I'll start with you, Del, and why?
Okay, I'm a super nerd. Like, I've read over 100 Star Wars books, and that's part of my beef when Disney bought the franchises. They negated a bunch of that canon. But I-5YQ, if anybody has ever read any of the Clone Wars novels, he's a protocol droid. He's hilarious. I won't go into too much time, but look him up. He's really funny. In terms of the movies, Han Solo, you know, hands down.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead. Josiah.
I can't argue with Del there. Han Solo is an amazing pick. And as I've gotten older, I've really gravitated towards him more than Luke. Overall, I think if you look at the entire saga and growing up, Yoda is it for me from a light side standpoint. And then if you look at a dark side character, it's Darth Maul. And I've loved how much he's appeared in all the properties over the years since what was an alleged death in episode 1. So can't go wrong there too.
No, no doubt. Vader, I love Vader. Han Solo obviously is great from that side of things. I was always a big Boba Fett fan when growing up. Then I didn't realize how much he really wasn't in anything until like for like 5 scenes and he's done, right? And I'm like, okay. But I was a big Boba Fett fan growing up. Jar Jar Binks, not the guy, not the character for me, for sure. You know, not the guy, the way he talks like that. Okay, we got less than a minute because I got to wrap up on Zoom here. They're going to kick me off. And then we'll get the podcast, Sal Sports and stuff. Real quickly, Del, tell everybody where they can find you and what you're all about.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Del Reed. That's, you know, and then 26shirts.com. Check out the shirts we have there. We got Star Wars related merch there, so check it out as well.
And Josiah, you too.
I'm at Josiah D. Leroy all over social media, and you can find the Geekiverse at www.thegeekiverse.com.
Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Great talking Star Wars with you.
Yeah, thank you, Sal.
Thanks for having me on.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
"You with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50?
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.